Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And if you're able, when you're ready, please stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word, Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then would you turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you asking for your help, asking that you would take your word, that you would take your law, and that you would sear it upon our minds and our hearts, that we would live lives that are pleasing to you. Help us now, be at work within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we come tonight to the third commandment. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. And we were thinking about how we're to acknowledge and love and fear gods more than anything else. The second commandment teaches us that we're to worship not only the right God, but that we're to worship him the right way. And now we come this evening to the third commandment, and it literally says this: no shall you lift or bear or take up the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, in sham, in the Hebrew, the idea of vain or emptiness or worthlessness. No shall you take up the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, in vain. Now, we all know this evening that our name is important. You may have heard someone say, you may have said it yourself, I want to clear my name. Or that person dragged my name through the mud. We understand that names are important, that we don't want our name to be tarnished. I give you another example. The parents here, you know all the energy that goes into naming your child. You look up biblical names. Is there any biblical name? And then you look at family names. You scour the internet for names. You look at the definitions of names. You think about how this name might be able to be twisted. Other kids would give your kid a nickname that they might not like, and on it goes. We understand that names are important. And when we come to the Word of God, we see that names are very important. They're not just a convenience. They're not just a label. They mean something. In the Bible, a name is part of who that person is. It's very hard to divide a person from their name. For example, Nabal, fool. There's a connection there between the person and the name. There's an embedding of the person in the name and an embedding of the name in the person. And you know that makes sense. That's why sometimes if you're thinking about naming your child and your spouse says, well, you know, let's call her Susan. And you say, well, I already know Susan. You know, that Susan is embedded in the name and vice versa. We understand that there's a strong connection between a name and a person and more so in the scriptures. So take the names of God, for example. The name, of course, Yahweh, Lord, all capital Lord in your Bible. It's used 6,823 times in the Old Testament. That's a sacred name that the Jews were hesitant to use. That's the name in Exodus 3 when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, and he tells Moses to go to Egypt. And Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? And God says, say Yahweh, I am that I am. And the name teaches us that God is. That God is self-existent, that God is eternal, that he is unchangeable. Another aspect to this name, Yahweh, is it's his covenant name. It's not used of any other God. It's his special name to be used by his special people. And so when we see this name, Yahweh, we understand that God is a personal God who has bound himself to his people, is faithful to his people. It's part of who he is. He is our God, Yahweh, and we are his people. We think of one of his other names, Elohim, used 2,570 times in the Old Testament, including in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim. It's not just a name, it tells us something about him, that he is powerful, that he is mighty, that he is majestic. Lord, Adonai, used 340 times, tells us something about God, that he's ruler, that he has all authority, that he is sovereign. Jesus, he is Savior. Christ, which is a title but also a name. He is the promised prophet, priest and king. The long-awaited God-man Savior. And so can you see this evening that names are more than just a label. They mean something. They are part of who God is. And so God's name and God's names are so important. In fact, remember Numbers chapter 6, you have there the Aaronic benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. And interestingly, after the benediction in verse 27, it says, so shall they, that's the priests, so shall the priests put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. You see, you can't have a divide between God's name and his blessing. If he puts his blessing on his people, then he puts his name on his people. His name is so important. 1 Kings 5, Solomon
He says he's going to build the temple, and he says, and so I intend to build a house for the name of Yahweh, my God.
Job chapter 1, his life is absolutely decimated. And what does he say? He says, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, O Yahweh, our Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We could go on and on.
The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
And so we understand that God's name is very, very sacred, very important.
In fact, and we won't go there tonight, but in Ezekiel chapter 36,
God is concerned about his name, that the people of Israel had profaned his name.
Now, how did the people of Israel profane his name? Were they outright blaspheming?
No, but the way they lived ultimately was profaning God's name. And that's why we see in Ezekiel 36 they were sent into exile ultimately. For profaning his name among the nations.
And then we come to the Lord Jesus, and he is the opposite of Israel. Why did Jesus come into this world? Why did he die? Was it not for God's name?
John chapter 12, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I've come to this hour. Why? Father, glorify your name.
God's name is important. And so we're not surprised that we shouldn't take it in vain. We're not surprised that there is a warning here, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
We're not surprised in Leviticus 24 verse 16, whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death.
It's serious. His name is important.
Do you see how important the name of the Lord is?
Now, with that in mind, I want to ask the question this evening, with the time that we have, how can we break the third commandment? How can we take his name in vain? And that is a massive question with a massive answer. But this evening, I want to give six ways that we can break the third commandment, that we can take the name of God in vain.
Six ways. First of all, if you are a Christian, every sin is a breaking of the third commandment. Have you thought of that? Every sin breaks the third. If you're a Christian, if you live under the banner Christian, if you have been baptized, when you were set apart and the water was put upon you, or you were Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, and the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was put upon you, you bear his name. Either by profession or by baptism or both, you bear the name of the triune God. You live under the banner Christian. And so when you sin, whatever that sin is, you take his name in vain.
There's an example of this in Malachi chapter 1. You can turn there if you want, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 1. And you remember, I know you do, because we just had a series on the book of Malachi, how the priests were indifferent
to God. And listen to what we read there in Malachi chapter 1 verse 10. Listen to what the Lord says. He says, "Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised." Now the priests weren't going around saying OMG. But they'd ceased to care about the glory of the Lord. Anyone can bring any sacrifice, that'll do, bring it in. They didn't care, they didn't fear the Lord. What were they doing? Ultimately in Malachi 1, they were breaking the third commandment. They were profaning his name. They were the servants. They were the ambassadors of God. And that's a serious thing. Are you here tonight? And you claim to be a Christian. Are you here tonight and you've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? What I say to you, when you don't live like it, when you're not living the Christian life, then you're breaking the third commandment. When you don't live like one who should bear his name, or don't live like one who bears his name as you should, then you are profaning the name of the Lord. So that's the first thing. In one sense, every sin for the Christian is a breaking of the third commandment. Secondly, employing his word, his name as a curse word, is breaking the third commandment. Employing his name as a curse word is breaking the third commandment. Now you might be here tonight and you're saying, "Well, surely not. Surely no one here uses God's name as a curse word." Well, I hope that's true. But what about when we substitute his name? What about when we say, "Oh, my word"? Who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, "Well, I'm not talking about Jesus." Well, you're talking about this Word? Well, what Word? Is that not a breaking of the third commandment? "Oh, my Word"? Or "Oh, my gosh"? Or "Geez"? Or a rolling of the eye, "Oh Lord"? We may not say his name directly, but are we not breaking it when we substitute words like that? Or what about, still under this heading, employing it as a curse word, what about when we willingly subject ourselves to others doing it? What about when we watch television, willingly listening to other people blaspheme his name? John Calvin said, "A dog barks when his master is attacked. I'd be a coward if I saw God's truth attacked and yet remained silent." What if we changed that a wee bit? What about, "A dog barks when his master is attacked. I'd be treacherous if I heard God's name attacked and didn't turn the channel. I think I've told you before, I used to play for an 11-a-side soccer team on a Saturday morning. It was a Christian league, so-called. You wouldn't know it by the conduct of the players, but in name it was a Christian league, and there was a referee there, and he used to tell us before the match that if he heard anyone say Jesus or Christ, then he was straight red, off you go. If he heard anyone say, oh my God, or something of the like, then a yellow, you get a caution, you get a yellow, two of them, and you're off the field. I remember thinking, well, what's his doctrine of the Trinity? You know, like he's a Jehovah's Witness in reverse. But I've got to say to you, I confess it to the Lord, I have this week. I can be like that when watching television. Well, someone says Jesus or Christ, off it goes. And someone says, oh my God, or the like, oh, I'll keep watching, I'll have my finger over the mute button. Future, is it? Well, I continue to condone his name being blasphemed. Well, I allow these people to infect my ears. Well, I allow them to pollute the airwaves of my house. Who is God? God is God. God is the creator. God is the ruler. God is the one who loves me, who sent Jesus to die for me. Jesus is the one who shed his blood for me. He is the King of Kings. Will I allow these people to ravage his name in my presence? Will I willingly, voluntarily consent to them, profaning his name in my hearing? Someone might say, well, you know, blasphemy is everywhere. We can't watch anything. That's fine. Blasphemy should turn our stomachs. I remember where I was in Wales, there was an old chap there in his mid-90s. His name was Glenn Thomas. And he was the assistant in his younger days to Martin Lloyd-Jones. And I would go and visit this pastor, and I remember him telling me once, and I don't know what you think of this, where we're talking about someone that we were concerned about who seemed to be backsliding or falling away. And he said in his experience, if someone blasphemed the name of the Lord, you knew that was it. They weren't truly saved. They couldn't, if it was just backsliding, you couldn't bring yourself to do it. I don't know how accurate that is. But it makes me think how we, the people of God, walking with God, are we willing to allow other people to do it in our presence? Are we willing to tolerate his name used as a curse word? That's the second thing. Employing it or tolerating it as a curse word. Thirdly, quickly, conjoining it to sin. Now that would be obvious, I would have thought, but I want to mention it because there are pastors in our denomination who call themselves gay Christian. It should go without saying, although apparently it doesn't, that if you attach a sin to the name of Christ, you are blaspheming. You are breaking the third commandment. Fourth, using it lightly or disingenuously. Using it lightly or disingenuously. We've all heard politicians say something along the lines of, God bless America. Now, they might actually be meaning it, or the cynical side of me says it's just an empty slogan. God bless America. Well, we can be like this, can't we? When we're singing hymns and psalms and just unintentionally singing his name. It doesn't mean anything. We can be like this in our prayers. Lord, I just want to say, Lord, that Lord, I'm so thankful, God, that such and such, in Jesus' name, amen. Using it lightly or disingenuously. Fifth, claiming it falsely. Now, we won't go there this evening, but in Jeremiah chapter 23, you can see how livid God gets with people who just name drop his name. In Jeremiah 23. Well, that's not unheard of today. You've heard people say, perhaps you've said it yourself, God wants us to. And God told me to tell you. And God told me it was okay if such and such. Kevin DeYoung, in his commentary on the Ten Commandments, which is a good commentary, ran across this with a church that were doing a church extension. And it was that sort of thing. God wants us to do this extension. God wants you to give your money and so forth. And we can't, we shouldn't claim God's name, claim God's revelation, claim God's authority just because we feel strongly about something. Claiming it falsely. And then finally, number six, an empty or unlikely or broken oath or vow made in God's name. An empty, unlikely or broken oath or vow made in God's name. Leviticus chapter 19 says, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So if we appeal to God's name frivolously, or we break an oath or a vow made in God's name, it is to break the third commandment. The confession says this: a lawful oath is part of religious worship wherein, upon just occasion, the person swearing solemnly calls God to witness what he asserts or promises, and to judge him according to the truth or falsehood of what he swears. The name of God only is that by which men ought to swear, and therein it is to be used with all holy fear and reverence. Therefore, to swear vainly or rashly by that glorious and dreadful name, or to swear at all by any other thing, is sinful and is to be abhorred. Yet, as in matters of weight and moment, an oath is to be warranted by the word of God. So we break this third commandment when we use his name in an oath or vow in an empty, frivolous way. Now there's more. There's more. If you want to know how more, read the larger catechism. There's just six ways, I hope, to get you thinking about the third commandment. And I ask the question this evening, have you been using God's name lightly? Have you been slack in, perhaps through television, allowing blasphemy to pollute the sanctity of your home? Have you sung his name half-heartedly? Have you used it as filler in your prayers? Have you tarnished his name in your walk by not bearing the name Christian as you ought? Are you living in a way that is unbefitting to one who's had the name of the triune God put upon them? The third commandment is serious. And I urge you, I urge myself, to think about these things. But I want to close this evening by saying this: that the name that all of us, to differing degrees, have mistreated is the very same name that we call upon for forgiveness. The name that all of us, to varying degrees, have mistreated is the very name that we call upon to seek God's forgiveness. Joel says in chapter 2, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now that's an important verse. Because Peter in Acts chapter 2, in his sermon at Pentecost, says the same thing. All those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul does it again, Romans chapter 10, I think it is. All those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John says in 1 John 2, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." I'm saying to you this evening that the name that we abuse is the same name that we appeal to for sins forgiven. The same name that we appeal to not only for our justification but our sanctification. And I say to you as I say to myself this evening, appeal to his name. For his name's sake. For misusing his, for forgiveness, for misusing his name. For the grace to treat it as we ought. Let's pray. Our Father, when your law is held up before us, we see something of how far short we fall, and yet even that, not as far as we ought to see. Lord, all we could do tonight is ask that you would forgive us. That you give us the grace we need to honour your name in our daily lives, in our speech, in what we tolerate listening to and watching. We pray tonight that by your Spirit you would help us to be attentive, sensitive to these things, that we would indeed highly esteem your name as we ought. And we pray tonight, O God, that for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, that you would forgive us for all the times that we have misused your name. We pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Receive the benediction by faith, and then we'll sing songbook number 5. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.